But I'm excited about today's message. It's been building for a long time. I know I've been saying that the last few weeks and everything, because we are in the middle of a sermon series called I Love My Church. You can put that slide up for that one. And so I know it sounds bad to just go up to someone and say, I love my church. But I'm trying to instill in you a reason to come. And one of those reasons is that we love it here. We want to be here. And it's through the worship, through the word, through all the different things that go on that we want to be here. So in the first week, we actually just discussed what is the church. When Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, what did he mean when he was saying he was building a church? What was that? And so we looked at the universal church, the church that's all around the globe, all the different denominations, everything like that, are part of the global church of God. And we looked at the local church, this assembly. This is where we've been called. This is the Manning Family Worship Center. Here we are going to church, the local church. And how does that fulfill through the global commission? And we looked at the individuals within the church and that each one of us is part of that promise that says, I will build my church. So each one of us in ourselves is part of the body of Christ. And we are the body of Christ, and we go out and we show Christ to this world. And then the second week of the sermon was, what is Manning Family Worship Center? And we took all of that stuff that we talked about in the first week, and we said, okay, how are we doing this? And we looked at how we strive to accomplish the goals that God laid out for us in regards to the global church and the local church and the individuals within that church. So this week and in the weeks to follow that I'll be preaching, we are going to look further into that what Manning Family Worship Center is. And in that, we will be retooling our vision. It's something that's been on my heart for a while. I talked to the board about it probably about a year and a half ago, about the fact that I want to tool our vision to be a little bit more concise. I don't know if any of you really, if you know the vision statement of the church. If a stranger were to ask any of us, me included, to tell them what the vision statement of our church is, without looking, most of us would be at a loss. Why? Because it's long, and it's really wordy. It's actually at the bottom of your bulletin, above bottom of the calendar, I believe it is. We might know it, but having trouble stating it by memory is hard. Family Worship Center strives to be a vital, vibrant, victorious, spirit-filled church. Our goal is to equip the saints for the work of the service and to build up the body of Christ for the purpose of reaching our community and surrounding areas and ultimately the uttermost parts of the world. How many of you have that memorized? Notice my hand is not up. I have parts of it too. But you know what? I keep forgetting the three V's. That was when I put this together, that was 9 years ago when I put this together. I was looking at the V's and making it vibrant and victorious and vital. Thank you. See, I have problems with my own thing that I put. 9 years I've had this in the bulletin and I forget. So I've been wondering, what do we do with that? How do we tweak it? How do we retool it? Because I think it's important that people know what Manning Family Worship Center stands for, what it is, what it's all about. The statement itself is true, and we vitally and vibrantly and victoriously want to have all those things within what we do as a church. But if someone asks, it's really too much to remember. And then if they ask you, what does it mean? Well, then it gets into this long discourse, and it doesn't really, might not really go right into what is Manning Family Worship Center. So today I want to retool this vision statement. Go to the next slide. There's the Family Worship Center. This is the redesigned logo. We had a different one a while back, and then put this together. But And it still is, and the other one still is. We still use them both. If you look at the aprons that are downstairs, it has the Trinity symbol with the family inside of it worshiping, and then Family Worship Center beside it. We have this one that we put on most of our letterhead and everything like that. And the reason that this name was chosen is because we wanted to show this place to be a center where families can come together and worship. And hence, we are Family Worship Center. The name of our church. And then go to the next one. We are together. And we are families together. Go to the next one. We are families that worship and serve and give together. And through the course of the next few weeks, we're going to talk about all these parts. Today, I want to talk about the first part. Next slide. The families together. Because that's what I think is going to be the main crux of what our vision is. We are families together. And today we are going to talk about this. In it, we are not wanting to exclude those who are not part of what is called the family unit. For the purposes of what Manning Family Worship stands for, the family is a household. If that household has one person in it, it's a family. That's a family. We are all a part of that family. We are a part of each family. Every one of you is brothers and sisters. You know, in different circles that you travel in the Christian realm, you know, Brother Corey, Brother Jules, Sister Eleanor, and some of them, they are very strong on the fact that you put brother and sister in front of that name. Why? Just for the fact of saying, you are a part of my family. And so we are. So maybe we should change policies here. Well, no, we're not going to do that. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We are not. You can, if you say it, brother, Brother Dwight, Brother Jerry, you know, and every once in a while that does come out. But, you know, it's just being a part of the family of God, being together. And on top of all that, if you are a born-again believer, knowing Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, then you are a part of the family of God, and that's most important. We are not an exclusive club. Manning Family Worship Center is not the only church that God loves. If you call any other church your church home, then this message applies to them as well. If they preach Jesus Christ crucified and his words that come from the scriptures, from this holy book, that's where I preach from. Now you might say, well, where is the scriptures in all this message? Well, it's all through our entire life as Manning Family Worship Center, because this is what we preach from. This is where we look at it. And God did say, quoting from scripture, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that includes Manning Family Worship Center. Where are my notes? There we go. So what does it mean to be families together? It means that we've joined together as different families, and we come together as a unit to make Family Worship Center. I want to show you an ad. I think I've showed this before here, but I want you to watch this. It's a couple minutes long, and it is an ad, and it is from a few years ago, but you'll enjoy. Eventually. Hit play on the big screen on that. The little play button. It worked earlier. Is it the little play button on the side, on the left-hand side, left tool? Yes, it is. It worked last time. Goodness sakes. Technology. Gotta love it. Please, 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 please. Do you mind bearing with me? It's really important. I just find it just speaks it back. The recording is going on, but chat amongst yourselves, joke around, have fun.
Isn't it nice when things just work?
Every piece that was used in that video was part of the car. Now we're all going to go buy a Honda. This message is brought to you by Honda Accord. I just wish they would give free vehicles to the preacher, but whatever. That video, every single part was part of that car. But aren't you glad there's an engineer that takes all those different parts from many different parts of the world and puts it together in such a way that it just works? Isn't that just amazing how it happens? Look around you. There are people in this church that are very different from one another. And we all say amen to that. Amen. And we all have different talents. But we can only do it together. Each one of us has a part to play, just like the car. And if all parts aren't doing the thing that they were meant to do, then it's not quite working right. It might work, but it might not be working right. That car was put together by technicians using parts that are made in all different parts of the world. And God has put us together in Manning Family Worship Center using parts that came from all different parts of the world. Look around. We have people from Manning. We have people from Holland and from Mexico. And we have people from all across Canada. And we came together, and we're Manning Family Worship Center. And let me tell you, I can tell you straight out, it's great because it just works. It works. Why else would we have 115-ish people here? And then with what's going on in the community, last week we had 145 in here. And that's going to probably be the norm in the next few weeks. It's amazing to look around and see this. Not just because of the fact that we're trying to boost numbers. And people always say to me, they say it's not about numbers. But guess what? Every number has a name. Every name has a story. And every story is a testimony for what God does in this place. And so it's great that we can know that we have come together. And it was God that brought it together. It wasn't people. It wasn't just people being brought together. It wasn't just a couple of churches joining together almost 9 years ago. It was God in the midst of the churches building us up to be together. And then God continuing to be the binding agent that keeps us together. Jen and I were at Gateway Conference 2015 in October down in Dallas. And Pastor Jimmy Evans spoke a great message on marriage and what the family unit was supposed to be, what it was meant to be. And I'm going to show you another video. I think that Pastor Jimmy can illustrate this part of the message better than I could ever do. So it's about 11 minutes long, but I want you to watch Pastor Jimmy Evans talking about marriage.
And the number one reason that God created marriage was to replicate God's nature and image on the earth. God said, let us make man. The very first thing that God said when he had made marriage, he said, let us make man in our image. So that we know that number one reason that God made marriage was to bear his image on the earth. Well, I have some help here this morning. Would Adam and Eve come out here? I want to introduce Adam and Eve to you. This is an exciting moment for many of you. You've never met them. And is Adam and Eve. Okay, Eve, come right up here. And Adam, come over here on this side. Okay, this is Adam and Eve right here. And so God said, let us make man in our image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Okay, is that what the Bible says? Okay, I have a question to ask. This is an important question before we go on. So in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So my question is, are women made in the image of God? That's good. Hey, that's good. That's good. Most of those were women. I'll give you another shot, guys. Are women made in the image of God? Yes. Oh, there are a lot of smart guys there. Okay. All right. I'm helping you get out of trouble. All right. So there's a maternal side to God. Y'all are getting nervous. Is there a maternal side to God?
Yes,
yes, there's a maternal side to God. And by the way, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, right? So men have the role of Christ. But women and the Holy Spirit are called the same name in the Bible, helper. God says, I'm going to make a helper comparable, equal, but different to this man here. Helper is the word azer, and it means power to accomplish a task and supplying what is lacking. So God looked at this man here in Genesis 2:18 and said, it is not good for this man to be alone. I'm going to create an azer for him. And there are two things the Holy Spirit does for us when he comes in our life. He gives us power to accomplish the task that Jesus called us to, and he supplies what is lacking. Is that right? Okay. And here's what I'm saying to you. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is a she. I'm not saying that. Okay. But what I'm saying is women are made in the image of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the maternal side of God. The Holy Spirit ministers to us much like a mother ministers to a child. Okay. So men and women are made both in the image of God. Okay. So let me have Elohim come out. This is God. I'm sure you're excited this morning. This is another kind of neat surprise. Okay. Good morning. Good to have you here. Good to have you here. We're a little worried about your glasses, but here you go. Stand close. In the beginning, God is the word, Elohim. El means God, I am means masculine plural. So the word Elohim means God in the plural. In the beginning, God, Elohim, said, let us make man in our image, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, is that right? Am I doing good so far? Okay. So Elohim, the first thing that he wanted marriage for was to create something in his image. Okay. So Genesis chapter 1 is kind of an overview of creation, and then Genesis 2 is the details. So God created Adam first, and Adam named all the animals on the earth before Eve was created, right? Okay. And then Genesis 2:18, God said that's not good. Well, let me ask you a question. Does that look like this? It's not a trick question. It doesn't look like this, does it? Okay. Well, Eve, come over here. So then we know that God created Eve. Stand close. Okay. And well, let me ask you another question. Does this look like this? No. God, would you come out? Step right over here, Eve. God never intended for marriage to be between a man and a woman. It was between man and woman and God. God lived with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. This is a triune relationship, three in one. Our God is three persons in one Godhead, right? This is a triune relationship, three in one. God said, they two shall become one. Let me give you the mathematics of marriage. 2 + 1 = 1. Two people who put God in the center of their relationship become one. Jesus said, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. It is only the presence of God in a relationship that makes unity possible. And it's spirit to spirit, heart to heart unity. And so in the very beginning, God made a three in one relationship to mirror the three in one relationship over here. This is the image of God. Let me have my third group come out here. Come over here, guys. Oh, excuse me, God. Come over here. And this is Jesus, the eternal Jesus, Father. And this is the bride of Christ, okay? So this is the Spirit-filled bride of Christ. The church was born on the day of Pentecost, right? The Holy Spirit birthed us, and the Holy Spirit is in us, okay? So Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you. And as soon as I go away, as sure as I go away, I'm going to come back and receive you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. And if it were not true, I would tell you. So my question is, where's Jesus right now? Somebody? King's University students? Jesus is at the Father's house preparing a place for us. Right? Is that right? It's John 14 if you want to look it up. Okay. So we're going to, Revelation 19, one day Jesus is going to come get us, and we're going to be married to him, right? We're the eternal bride of Christ, right? That's who we are, right? So we're going to be married to him. See, the church has really never understood how exalted we are in God's eyes, because we're seated with him in heavenly places, and we'll rule and reign with him through eternity. So the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 was talking about marriage. And he was talking about men and women and them fulfilling their roles in marriage. And then he says this. Well, this mystery is great. I'm talking about this. I'm speaking in reference to Christ and the church. In the very beginning, Elohim said, "Let us make man in our image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God came in the midst of them and created marriage." It's a triune relationship and the most important relationship on earth. And it is the foundational relationship of all of society. And everything God is going to do in society, he is going to do through this. But marriage is not just the image of God. Marriage is a prophetic picture of what our eternal relationship with God looks like. And it was a mystery for many, many years until the Apostle Paul pulled back the drapes. The most revelatory text in the Bible of marriage is Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says this: God declared the end from the beginning. From the very beginning, our triune God said, this triune relationship is going to reflect my image on the earth, and this triune relationship is going to be an eternal relationship where I'm headed with mankind. So I just want to burn this picture in your head. When we talk about marriage, this is what the devil doesn't want us to understand. And I want you to understand, this is the image of God, and Satan's dedicated task is to wipe this off the face of the earth. And there's only one group of people who can stop him, and that's the Church of Jesus Christ. We're the only people who can stop it. We're the only people who can build this right here. We're the only people who can, we're the only people who care about it. And don't get mad at the government, they can't do it. And they're not there to take our place. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell cannot prevail against us. And when God created Adam by himself in Genesis chapter 2, it did not draw the attention of the devil as far as we know. He was largely disinterested because Adam was on the earth for a long time before Eve came along, because he named all the animals on the earth. We're still finding new species. It takes a long time to name all the animals on the earth. I tried it one day. I mean, it takes a while, I tell you right. So Adam was on the earth. Genesis chapter 2, God said it's not good for him to be alone, so God created this. And in Genesis chapter 3, the devil went berserk. Genesis chapter 3 is not the record of the fall of man. If Satan would have attacked Adam when he was by himself, that would have been the fall of man. Genesis chapter 3 is the record of the fall of marriage. He attacked marriage. He hates marriage. He hates your marriage. He hates every marriage in your church. He hates every marriage in this society because it looks like God. It carries the anointing of God on it. He hates this. So he wants to take God out. He wants to divide people. Anything other than this right here. Give our people here a big hand. Thank you guys very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I want to just take that just a step further, because when God created Eve, then the devil went berserk, and he went against the creation of marriage. But when did the persecution start? right after the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down and made the bride of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit doesn't want churches to understand their relationship with God and how it is a picture of eternity. What's that? Oh, sorry. Thank you for the correction. The devil doesn't want us to know what power we have as the church. And when you see this, I know this was all talking about marriage, but you see that he was talking also about the church. And yes, it's the eternal picture, but when did that eternal picture begin? It doesn't begin at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It began the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. And so we are a part of that. We are a part of the church of Christ. We are part of the bride of Christ. And when you actually look into Revelation chapter 21, it says that we are the wife of Christ. We are his wife. Behold, the church, the wife of the Lamb. And so when you start to look at it, that we are important in God's eyes, and we are together, and our church was brought together by God and is powered by God to accomplish his goals for the community of Manning and beyond. And we outlined these goals in the first sermon of this series, where the purpose of the church was threefold. It was to worship God. It was to teach Christians how to live Christ in our world, and it was to reach those who do not know God. And so in the next few weeks, we'll be taking all those things and we will be looking at them. We will be discussing it. Families worshiping together. Families serving together, or I call that the teaching part. Or families giving together, reaching out into the world. And so with all that, you know, we have families together. And when we have families together, it's another reason why I love my church. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the institution you call the church. Lord, I thank you for the universal church, the church that is meeting worldwide or has met. And Lord, we thank you that we can come together and we can worship you. And we come together to be families together. And God, I pray that we will never lose the picture that Pastor Jimmy gave to us as we saw that about how God is in the midst of it and Jesus is there and Holy Spirit is there. And that it's all a picture of the triune God. So we thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in this church. We thank you for what you are accomplishing here, Lord. It is a great, it makes me excited to know that you are here with us. It's not just us meeting with each other, but it's us meeting with God. And it's God being right in the midst here, Lord, and teaching us how to be the bride of Christ. So God, I pray that we never lose that picture. And Lord, I pray blessings upon everyone that is here. I pray blessings upon our community. I pray your blessings upon whatever is happening in the spiritual realm right now, Lord. Because we know that it's powerful because you are involved. And God, we know that the gates of hell cannot prevail because you have built this church. And Lord, we thank you for that. So God, I pray that as we get together and we fellowship in the next little while here, God, that it will be just of you completely, that we will know that it is one thing that you are building. You are building us into your church. And we thank you and we bless you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said,